Mr. DJ, where you at? Mr. DJ, where you at?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, he coming.
You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Hold on, hold on.
No, I am.
No.
The DJ, you gotta bring it.
I don't know if you guys are ready. I don't know if you guys are ready.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm ready, dog. I'm ready to shoot
things.
Here
it is. Here we go.
Kind of go in the background because that's just a good song to get the crowd hype, get my guys hype. Man, it is a special Thursday night edition of Talking Sports. So JQ is ready. He is ready. We can't calm him down. I love it. Man, of course, like I said, it's a Thursday. We are ready to go, man. We had a little week hiatus, so as you can see, yeah, we're ready. If you didn't know, I'm Andre Peterson, joined by two guys at the top of my depth chart, JQ as well as Rob Ford. I'm going to just throw it to JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I am still sitting on cloud nine. I have to come back from being in Cincinnati for the All-Star festivities. I'm trying to get back to regular life.
So we're gonna let JQ start it off, too. He's so excited. Yeah, we're going to let do a quick recap for him. So we'll talk about that. And without further ado, I also got to check in with my other guy, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, couldn't be better. Ready to talk some sports. Ready to get back in the groove again.
Let's get back in the groove. Yeah, first and foremost, before I get started, we always got to throw out some numbers and all that contact information stuff. If you want to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. Also, I've been getting some texts and some tweets, guys, too, so we always have to keep an eye on that. If you want to follow us in the Twitter universe, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, we are on Facebook. I know we've been getting like a lot of love posting and everything to that nature. So if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us in that particular vein. So, without further ado, it is the 16th of July, and we're going to recap the Major League All-Star Game. And I guess what would be further than the truth than throw it out to our guy, JQ, was actually in Cincinnati. Tell us, sir, about that experience, your thoughts, all that fun stuff, sir. How was that the midseason classic, sir?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Just so to give everybody a recap, I'm from Cincinnati, so once I heard out the All-Star Game with Cincinnati, of course, I had to go. So on Monday at the Home Run Derby, actually before the game, the Derby, I went to the Fan Fest where you can go and they have all the, you know, the experiences and the memorabilia and all that good stuff. And I actually got to meet George Foster for all you old heads out there, and he signed my baseball and took a picture with me. And then later that night, we hung out outside the stadium, and it was just electric, man. It was electric with Todd Frazier having to come back in every round to win the Home Run Derby, and people were chanting in the bar, and the DJ just was spinning crazy. I mean, it felt like the roof was going to blow off. But the biggest story for me is on Tuesday, the actual day of the game, I didn't have a ticket to the game. So I was in the area where they were doing a lot of, you know, festivities, like a block party, and I had my homeboy Cal with me. Shout out to Cal, who's a Mets fan. He had his Mets hat on. So we had to see two guys walking down the street, and they stopped him and say, "Hey, man, are you a Mets fan?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, born and raised in Queens. I used to go to Flushing and go to Shea Stadium all the time." And the guy says, "Really, I'm a Mets fan too. You guys want to go to the game?" So, of course, you know, we're looking like we're on Punk'd or something. Like, I mean, I wait on him to say, you know, how much money you got. So he was like, you know, and he pulls out the photo of tickets out of his pocket, like, "Here you guys go. You know, we're Todd Frazier's friends, and we just tired. You know, we got to see his first two at-bats. But we did the Home Run Derby. We did all the autographs, signing the BP. So, you know, we're tapped out. You know, you guys going to have a good time." So, you know, you talking about two guys, like, with the Willy Wonka ticket running down the street towards the stadium, just not feeling any pain. So, of course, you know, we're trying to be cool as we go into the reentry thing to make sure nobody, you know, gives us any grief. So we get through that. And, of course, you know, it was just – it was so great. We got to see McCutchen's home run. We got to see, you know, Machado double at center field. We got to see DeGrom, you know, strike out the side on 10 pitches. We got to see Chapman, you know, just throw gas for 16 pitches. He threw one pitch under 100, and it was 99 miles an hour. I mean, it was just crazy. It was a good time. Being a National League guy, I wish they had a won. But actually being able to go into the game, like you said earlier, scratch off your bucket list, going to the game and just see all the stars and watch them interact and be in the stadium for that, I mean, I'm still trying to come down, if you can't tell.
JQ is on a high, man. That's a great experience, sir.
Cloud
so
nine.
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yes,
how
sir.
Was it? How was the Shout whole thing, Cincinnati? I mean, yeah. How was that? Was that kind of a good? I mean, it seems like you know a great opportunity. I know we talked a little bit about Pete Rose and a lot of things happening too. So, what was your thoughts as far as the atmosphere and everything that was happening? And congrats, number one, to Todd Frazier too for pulling that out, man. Talk about a pitcher perfect moment as well, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It was awesome. I mean, Cincinnati was fully prepared for that game. They had all the traffic correct. They had all the events set up correctly. I mean, everybody had on Reds gear, and there was still a good number of other teams represented because it's so central. Like, you had a lot of Detroit. You had a lot of Cleveland. You had a lot of Chicago. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of St. Louis. You had a lot of Kansas City. And believe it or not, you had a lot of the New York Mets. I think those were the top six teams that I saw when I was trying to keep count of, you know, which team outside of Cincinnati was representing the best. But, I mean, it was just electric everywhere, you know, Friday through Tuesday, people everywhere, you know, hanging out. There was no problems, people getting along, you know, looking out for each other. It was just a fantastic experience. Then you cap it off with the, you know, the franchise four and then a minute and a half standing ovation for Pete Rose. I mean, I didn't get a chance to be in the stadium for that because I didn't get in until later. But I got to watch it on TV, and, you know, it was just, you know, people in the bars and stuff are applauding. Like, he can hear them. I mean, it was just. It was fantastic. Shout out to Cincinnati for putting on a great show. My friend was with me, was like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Cincinnati is a great town, a great baseball town. I can't believe all the teams that have represented and the way the Reds fans have come out to support it. They had to make a mint downtown at the bars and the restaurants because everything was sold out all weekend.
Rob, man, what do you have to say? Anything you want to comment on what JQ's experience over there, sir?
Well, I think he pretty much covered it all. Of course, my experience can't top his experience, so I think he covered it quite well.
I was going to say, too, real quick, and I know we got to talk about a lot of stuff, too, as far as some big NFL salaries and whatnot, too, but I was going to ask this is kind of a curveball, but whenever me and Rob were doing the show back in the day, JQ, one time I had to do the show by myself, and I was talking, probably one of the best subjects by myself, but I was talking about which All-Star game has the best game, and I mean truest to form, you know, whether you're talking about hockey, baseball, football, you know, I think those are the main ones here, you know, but and I'm thinking as far as the game itself, and I would say that probably baseball has the truest form because, you know, they're playing exactly what they're supposed to do. You got the All-Stars, like the best of the best. Guys aren't really switching positions. You guys are standing right there. And it's an actual game as opposed to, you know, NBA. It's kind of more or less like a, you know, alley-oops, and they're just kind of, you know, they play serious towards the end, but it's not really, you know, as far as the game. And then, you know, same thing with the Pro Bowl for football. You know, we have a little bit of that, but, you know, they're kind of taking it kind of like they don't want to hurt each other. But I think baseball is the truest sense because, you know, you got here's your lineup. Nothing changes. You're getting nine great pitchers, and I think that's, like I said, the best All-Star game, if you will, you know. So that's just kind of from my vantage point. So, JQ, I don't know if you want to comment that, and then, Rob, I'll let you say that for last, too. No offense, Rob. We'll get you in there, too, sir. But, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because to piggyback on that, you know, it's not an exhibition. It's an actual game. And I think it was that way before they even made the World Series Game 7 kind of be decided by it. Because you've got the best pitchers, and they don't want to get shown up. They want to show that my stuff is better than your hitting. And, you know, to see DeGrom come out there, you know, as a young kid and strike out the side on 10 pitches, I mean, was phenomenal. Man. And to see Chapman, you know, he's trying to put on the show, you know, I don't think he threw anything but fastballs, you know, no sliders, no changeups, no gimmicks. Just
come
a,
get it.
I'm going to bring my best stuff. Yeah, come get it. My best stuff versus your best stuff and see what you got. And it was like that for every inning, you know, there was no taking off. There was nobody, you know, lollygagging ground balls. They were running them out hard. It was a true game. So I totally agree with you on that. It was like going to a regular baseball game unless you were playing the baseball game with the best of the best in the world, you know. So I agree, the MLB All-Star Game is, if you get a chance to go, anybody listening, if you can go and save up some money and go somewhere that's by you to go and you like baseball, you should go. You won't be disappointed. You won't say, oh, this is terrible. I mean, it was a fantastic time. It was a great game.
JQ's on his high. Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
I would agree on one point. I would agree that the game, the baseball All-Star game, has everything. It has the hitting, it has the pitching, it has the defense, as you would find in a normal baseball game. And obviously, the winner gets the home field advantage for the World Series. So, you know, it has a little impact on the season as well. But I would rank it second to the NBA All-Star game. I think the NBA All-Star game is the most exciting. The NBA All-Star game is designed to entertain the fans, and to whereas they actually put it on the show for the fans. I think it's the most entertaining of all of the All-Star games, and just in my observation, and what's entertaining to me. I enjoy the NBA All-Star game the most, and I would have to put the NFL All-Star game third. I mean, it's there's no tackling. Guys are scared to get hurt, and rightfully so. I mean, that's a, you know, it's a collision sport. Football is a collision sport. You know, I say basketball is a physical sport. Football is a collision sport. There's a difference. And so, yeah, I would rank basketball as the most entertaining. NBA is the most entertaining of the three, with baseball the closest to a true form of a game, and football, of course, you know, taking up the rear when it comes to All-Star games.
Yeah, Rob, the question was which one has the best game, so I'm glad you clarified that. You know, we weren't talking about the most entertaining because, yeah, we were going to say basketball is the most entertaining, but
yeah.
I was saying the truest form of the game, you know, is, I feel it's baseball. So anyway, you know, good job on that. And my last point real quick, and anyone can answer, what did you think about the Home Run Derby? Did you guys like the new format? You want to change it? I mean, what did you think about that? And I guess, Rob, I'll let you go because JQ's been excited, so I'll kick off.
I have to be perfectly honest with our listeners. And, I mean, I didn't even know it was something we were going to discuss, but I had no clue. I didn't watch it, and I didn't really care about it either.
Okay,
so I had to let you guys cover that.
Fair enough. JQ, what are your thoughts on this, sir?
You know what? I was skeptical about it because they keep changing it every year, and I was like, oh, my goodness, here comes another change. But actually, and I know I'm biased given that I was in the atmosphere in the midst of it, but you could tell they didn't take as much time off. Every swing mattered this time because they were being timed. So, and then the way they did the brackets, I think the format is here to stay. It was fast, and you know, like they got tired, and people didn't have to wait an hour in between rounds, and where you saw them get cold and not be able to come back out and hit again. I enjoyed that; it kept the pace up, it kept the fans interested. I think this format is here to stay. I really do.
Gotcha. And Rob, like I said, I'll be honest with my listeners too. So we always do like a bet pool, so we bet the player that's going to win. So that's why I was engaged. I'm like, man, you know, you pull names out of a hat, and you're kind of betting for your guy to pull it out. So that's what got me engaged. And then actually I was like, man, this is actually pretty cool. So, you know, it was really fast-paced, as JQ said. You know, the out, I was like, man, and then, you know, the longest home runs you get. I like the pace, man, I'm not going to lie. So, you know, that's my observation. You know, so we'll see if that stays. I'm pretty sure it will. I don't see why it wouldn't. You know, maybe it'll add a little tweaks in there, but that's my vantage point. So, anyway, guys, thank you so much for that. JQ, that was your
thank
time
you
to shine, sir. So there you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's all you. That's a great deal that, you know, sometimes we get a chance to actually be in the city and have some fun with that. So that's great that you were actually live. Hopefully, sir, you took some pictures, man. You can share that, man. We'll put them on the page, man. If you would like to do that,
absolutely,
that would be fantastic as well, too. So anyway, we'll kind of recap
absolutely
that as well. Oh, all right. Rob is so excited to write about now. A lot of big money deals actually went down, and I guess let's talk about this, Rob. You know, still you, sir, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, some guys here, as well as Justin Houston, man. What do you think about these moves? Did Dez Bryant kind of strong arm the Cowboys into making that? What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, I think he got still came up less than what he actually wanted, and as far as from a contract standpoint, obviously he's got a good deal, 5 years, $70 million, just under what, you know, obviously what Kelvin Johnson is going to be getting per year. So obviously he did not get the kind of monies that he was looking for, but I think it came out to be a fair deal. And Demaryius Thomas got pretty much the same deal, 5 years, $70 million. When you look at Bebe Thomas' numbers over the last few years, you can make a case that he's been arguably putting up the best numbers of anybody. But obviously, he's been having Peyton Manning throwing him the football, so that kind of helps him.
There you go.
A little bit as well. Justin Houston, you know, the one who went over $100 million, there are a lot of question marks. You know, I'm a firm believer you got to take care of pass rushers. They're hard to find. I mean, to me, there's the four most important positions in football is the quarterback position, a guy that can protect the quarterback, a guy that can rush the quarterback, and a corner that can cover. I mean, those are the four most important positions in football. You have to take care of those players when you have them. So if you got a guy, I mean, almost broke Michael Strahan's record, I don't have any problem with the Justin Houston contract. You have to, when you get a pass rusher like that, you have to take care of him. Those guys are hard to find. You can't find them off the streets. So I know there's a lot of media that's questioning that contract with Justin Houston. But I say, like I said, if you got a guy that can play those four positions, you have to pay him handsomely.
Yeah, I don't think we're crying for Dez Bryant by any means. Any thoughts on that, JQ?
Yeah, no. And I would agree with everything he just said, you know, especially with those four positions. But, you know, 22 sacks, 48.5 of his career, 200 tackles. I mean, I feel like he's still on the upswing. So if you're going to gamble, I would gamble on a young pass rusher that you can have for some years and carry as a quarterback. And let's not think they still have to get after Peyton Manning twice a year this year. So don't think that didn't factor into that decision, that if he can't get the ball to Demaryius Thomas, that he can't hurt you with his brand-new money. So I do like that for Kansas City. The point that I thought was interesting is that they already had the collusion issue with Denver and Dallas, and then two guys get the same years and the same amount of money. So you almost have to feel like they were talking to each other. I mean, they split up, you know, the guaranteed money is a little different. But if they both play out the years of those deals and end up with 5 years of $70 million, that the fact that they already had them, you know, kind of getting ready to get sued by the NFLPA for collusion, and they still end up with the same years and the same money, I thought that was more than a coincidence.
Yeah, that was some good points, too. Yeah, no, you're right on point. I mean,
absolutely.
Like you said, you know, Rob is right on point, too, man. I mean, there's a couple of players that you know they're going to get the most money, left tackles, you know, quarterbacks, you know, pass rushers, obviously, from this vantage point. But, you know, and sometimes even some cornerbacks get paid, too. But, you know, like I said, you know, Justin Houston, man, you know, if you think, like you said, JQ, he's on the uptick, you know, this is a good deal. Hopefully this will kind of set the stage. I know some teams are probably freaking out a little bit, like you said, Rob, too. But let's talk about that. Are the NFL salaries kind of lagging behind other sports in this instance, Rob, or what's going on with that?
Well, you know, NFL is the most powerful professional sports league in America. And, you know, even though they're not popular in Europe and other countries, it's still the most powerful league in the world as well. You know, so you have to question, you know, on some occasions, why are the players not getting, you look at these NBA contracts, man, you know, Anthony Davis just got 5 years. $145 million. I mean, that's that's higher, and that's guaranteed money. And, you know, you look at a guy in the same town, Drew Brees' contract is 5 years, $100 million. I mean, that's a difference of $45 million, and that's guaranteed. You know, that's just an example of one city. And, you know, you can make, and baseball players have getting contracts of over $150 million, $160, $170 million as well.
Don't be jealous,
Ron. The NFL is the most profitable league. So it's somewhat surprising. Obviously, you have to pay more players in the National Football
League.
There it is. There are more players on the roster. And obviously, injuries are a big concern, and that's why you don't see the guaranteed numbers. And but I think there's a select few players in the National Football League that could be on that same level. I think every team probably has one or two of those guys that probably could come close to NBA or Major League Baseball top salaries, but they're not there yet. And like I said, obviously the main reason is because of the number of players that are on National Football League teams. You look at 53-man rosters, the practice squad is going to increase this year as well. So there's more money that you have to spread around. And obviously the owners want to keep a lot in their pockets too.
Yeah, that's the thing too. That's the one sport where the owners definitely try to – and it's tough, man, because, you know, NFL is king, man. I mean, you get money for a lot of the television rights and advertising, and yes, the owner's going to make money and advertise merchandise. You would think this would be the one league where you don't want to kill the golden goose. You want to keep it going. You know, each year they have new freaking draft hats. I'm buying draft hats, you know, new jerseys, whatever. So you would think that would be the league that would say, hey, let's kind of take care of our players. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation from there, too. So I don't know, Jake, if you want to add to what Rob said. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Is something you want to add from that vantage point, sir?
I think the biggest reason he touched on it is the fact that you have to pay 53 men on the active roster, where basketball has 15, and you don't have to have 15 total. You can have less than 15. You can have 13 or 14. And then you talk about baseball, I believe it's 25. So when you talk about baseball, I think you're tripling just about what the NBA has in terms of players, and you're pretty much doubling what baseball has. I think that's where your discrepancy is. You just have to pay more people, you know, and I don't think it's going to ever really change. Now, they make a lot of money, and they could give that money more to the players and away from the owners, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So I think it's really a numbers game is why that happens, just the number of players you have to play. You have to pay.
Numbers game it is, man. Like I said, hopefully I think they have made some advances. I like the new structure with the way that the rookie salary cap is in place. You pay the players that have earned it, so I think that's a good thing. That way you're not going to see any more deals like freaking Sam Bradford or even the Matt Stafford anymore. You're going to actually pay. It's a pretty easy contract, so that way hopefully that'll make things a little even out as the CBA and more money starts coming in as we continue to increase those revenues. So, you know, that's my little 5 cents on that. If you guys want to add that, you most certainly can. Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. You guys hit it on all the points.
Cool. All right. We've had some fun with that. I know, before we kind of totally switch gears, now we want to talk about some NBA stuff. Rob, good job throwing in there a little Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, y'all. Shooting 76. Is he going to ever win another major is the question. I'm going to say yes because law of averages, he's got to win one coming up. But it's going to be tough. I don't know if he's ever going to get that record. I'm just saying, he's got to win one. Come on. You know, by
that
was, accident, that was, you know, come on.
Not when the field, no. But you can talk about, you're talking about the field starts at 70 people, though, or around 70 people. So the actual law of averages are against him because he's one out of 70 at only four events every year. So, and he just doesn't seem to have that Tiger Woods confidence. I don't know if it's because he just doesn't have the women he's running after anymore or what's happening with him. But, I want to see him win another title, you know. I don't think he breaks Jack Nicklaus's record. But I would love to see him just get one more. But, I mean, at a round today where people are blowing the doors off of it, you know, for it to be the British Open, and he comes in with a 76, you know, if you can't shoot a low score today, when can you? So, and he's going to have too much ground to make up, so I think this one is by the wayside. The U.S. Open is always hard. The Masters is his own animal. You know, I don't know, man. I want him to, but at this point I have to say no.
Okay. I think he's got one in him at some point, but, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be this year, but I think he's got at least one more in him. That's me. Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
You know, this was the one tournament I actually gave him a chance to be somewhat competitive. I was thinking the back was starting to heal a little bit. And so I think he's got to be really disappointed to come out and start with a 76 in this tournament. And because it looks like I think he was just starting to turn. I didn't expect him to win the British Open, but I expected him to be a lot more competitive. I mean, I think he's already like 11 strokes back, if I'm not mistaken. And I think he's definitely out of this one. And I believe he will win another major at some point. I think he will get it fixed at some point. I agree with JQ on the standpoint of catching Jack Nicklaus. I don't see that happening. But I think at some point he will win at least one more major. It obviously is not going to be this one. And maybe not this year. It may take him another year to get it figured out.
And the thing about it is he's had so much success at St. Andrews that it's like, if not now, when? He's already, I believe, has two or three claret jugs from St. Andrews. So this was set up perfectly for him, and it was a scoring day today, and he came out with a 76, and it just kind of let the air out of the balloon. You know, I'm disappointed for him. Like, you know, I feel like we all want him to do well because he revolutionized golf and put it on the level that it is now so that, the Jordan Spieth and, you know, the Rory McIlroy can come out and enjoy this level of money and fame. You know, I mean, it was successful before, but he took it to another level, kind of like Michael Jordan with basketball. So I want to see him do well, but it's tough right now to watch him struggle. Like, it's tough for me to watch him struggle.
Yeah, good calls on our front, JQ and Rob. Yeah, I mean it's a tough thing because, you know, clearly he's not the same. Whether it's the injury or, like you said, he's just not top of the world here on his game. But you know,
don't
got
that mojo,
thing, but yeah, no more mojo, and it's tough because you know he's the guy that you want to watch, man. Everyone is, you just know he's on the prowl. And we want him to kind of go out and ride in the sunset, kind of winning a major and kind of walking out. You know, I had a different thought process of him kind of like leaving the game because he was, you know, breaking records and just doing his thing, man. So it's just tough, man, to kind of watch him struggle like this. But, you know, hopefully get one. And like you said, maybe he'll just say, hey, it's been great, you know, on the ride in the sunset, guys. It's been fun. I don't know. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out for sure, guys.
Well, you know, these baseball players, they play until they're 60, so he's probably going to be competing by another 20 years, too. So.
Yeah,
he's like Arnold Palmer. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why he's got one more in him. He's got to have one more in him. Come on, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And he's a competitor, right? Like Bob says, you can play well. I don't think Jack won after the age of 42, if I'm not mistaken. So he's getting near the end of that peak run era, but he can keep playing. He might walk into one, maybe, or into contention. But it's gonna be tough. I don't think he's gonna hang it up. He's too much of a competitor, and like you said, he feels like, you know, the next one is the one where I turn it around, and once I turn it around, I'm gonna get on the roll. And I think you have to have that mindset when you compete at the level that he competes at. You know that he has competed at, so I don't think he's gonna walk away. I mean, unless he just is embarrassing himself shooting in the 80s, you know, and just, you know, throwing clubs and breaking them and hitting into the water every other hole. But outside of that, I can't see him walking away until his body just breaks down. His body will have to break down to me for him to walk away.
Yep. He'll have that moment where everything kind of, like, hits right, and he's just going to hit every choke. He's going to have that one, like, perfect game, you know. So, you know, that's what I think is that one more in him. We got about 3 minutes here, and we got a minute before we set off the two-minute drill here. Two-minute drill. Real quick.
2 minutes?
Minutes, yeah. The NBA, Major League Baseball is looking to possibly expand. Wanted to get your thoughts, Rob, first, and then JQ. You got to get 30 seconds each. Is this a good move, you think, first and foremost? Rob?
I'm going to say no. I don't think there's two markets that are ready to take on baseball at this point in America, so I don't think it's a good move. I know baseball is looking at evening out, you know, making it 16 teams in each league, so they can, so they won't have to have as much interleague play. But I actually like the interleague play, and you know, I like it the way it is for right now. I don't think they should dilute the product at this moment. And right now, I don't know if two American cities is ready to take on a Major League Baseball team at this moment. So I'm going to say, I think they should hold off personally. Just my opinion.
JQ.
And I'm going to say that as well, because I believe right now all the divisions are equal with the same number of teams. So if you add one, then one of the divisions is going to have more teams than the other three, which is one thing. And then the other thing is I just don't think there's enough pitching. You know, pitching is a rare commodity, and you see some young guys come through. But to add another, you know, three minor league teams for each team and a major league roster, I think you're going to dilute the product. And I don't want to do it. I think they have it at the right point that they need to have it at right now and just take this and run with it, hopefully get it back to that level of importance and popularity when they had the McGuire and Sosa home run derby kind of thing happening. They're trying to get back to that, but I don't think they need to expand to get back to that.
Rob, 1:30. Go ahead and set us up for the OT portion.
Well, I feel like we're just getting started, people. All right, we still got a lot more sports to talk about. We got a lot of NBA wrapping up, the NBA free agency, so you want to stay tuned. Tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. You don't want to miss this. Join us again on next week. We should be back to our regular night on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. That'll be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night. We look forward to you all joining us again. Make sure you like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Good night, people.
Way to stand up, Sir Snatty. I am proud of you. And stay classy, San Diego.
I love it. We're hitting our stride as always. Yeah, as mentioned, looking forward to the we're keeping on talking the OT portion. If you didn't know, that's what it's all about. We have some fun, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, as Rob said. Keep those topics coming. I know we've got some requests for some good topics here. So that's what it's all about, guys. We'll keep it going as well. And with that being said, we are going to go ahead and get ready to go into the OT portion. And, Rob, we're going to keep it in the Major League Baseball. We are going to talk a little bit about some NBA. And I guess I'm going to throw it again. This is maybe a shout-out to JQ. Five teams are going to make a run in the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Rob Ford, go, sir.
Oh, I'm going to go with my Yankees. I know y'all think I might be a little biased here, but, you know, I'm going to go with the Yankees here. I got a 3.5-game lead in the AL East. I got a second-best record in the American League since June 1st. And obviously, the Yankees, when leading the AL East at the All-Star break, they haven't missed the playoffs since 1987. Of course, you got Jacoby Ellsbury back. We've been 4-1 since he's been back in the lineup. Brett Gardner hitting the stride. Alex Rodriguez, actually, is arguably could have been an all-star. I know he's not very well liked by a lot of people, rightfully so. And but I think he's hitting the stride as well. Got to watch the Angels as well, Los Angeles Angels. They're hitting their stride ever since they fired the general manager. The Angels have won 7-10. You can make a case that Albert Pujols is going to got a great stretch run here in the second half. And then also, you know, Trout is probably the most dominant player in the game since Barry Bonds. And so watch the Angels. The Pittsburgh Pirates, I like what they're doing as well. Andrew McCutchen, Mark Melancon, they're hitting their stride as well. And they have the pitching, too. They probably have the best 4-man rotation of any team going into the playoffs this year, if they do make it, led by Garrett Cole and A.J. Burnett. So watch them as well. And also I like the Dodgers as well. Clayton Kershaw, enough said with the Dodgers. I like them as well to make a run.
Yeah, Clayton's been pitching crazy.
Don't forget about Zach Greinke.
Yeah,
he was on a serious streak until Trout homered on him in the All-Star game. So, yeah, I agree.
I tell you what, your Rays got a lot of talent. I know they're in fourth place right now, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to play lot better in the second half, too.
No, they're going to have a fire sale. I think they waited until the All-Star game was over because they wanted to keep the spirits high in Cincinnati, but they're so far behind with St. Louis playing good ball. I add St. Louis, Pittsburgh playing good ball, and I think Pittsburgh is on that push right now, given the way they closed the first half of the season playing St. Louis. So those two teams. I would also – I think the Nationals, you know, with Harper, they get stalked.
That hurts.
Well, I'm just saying, you're talking about Gil Gonzalez, Strasburg, Zimmerman, and Scherzer. I mean, you're talking about four guys. If you go into a four-game set and catch all four of them, good luck scoring runs. So that's the third one for me. I agree with the Angels, and I will put the Dodgers in there as well because I just feel like the Dodgers have too much talent to keep mucking around. I know Puig is out there causing a little, you know, locker room clubhouse controversy, but they just have too much talent with him and Gonzalez and that pitching staff to keep muddling around. I think they're going to go on one of those runs. Maybe not like how they went on the run last year, but I think they're going to go on a tirade here soon. So those will be my five.
They got the largest opening day payroll in the league, $270 million. They better show something for that.
Yeah, they better. Yeah, really. And they got manager in Matt Lee, and they got McGuire as their pitching coach. I mean, as their hitting coach. I mean, come on. And with that staff they have, I just can't see them not making a move. And a sixth one would be for me for Kansas City because they just have a lockdown bullpen. If they make a move to get another starting pitcher, they make a move to get a starting pitcher to go with that bullpen, they're not going to have to score a lot of runs to beat you because, they have almost like a Nasty Boys thing happening where if you get to the seventh inning, you know, good luck.
Dang it, JQ, you
Nasty
stole my guy.
Boys.
Stole
my... Oh, yeah, I used to be a fan of them.
I was gonna say the Royals, man. You kind of stole my thunder there. That's why I wanted to kind of target, man. That's okay, you know. But yeah, I mean, no, it's all good. It's all good, man. I'm not gonna cry. But no.
They got the best record in American League.
I'm a fan of the Royals, man. That's my squad, man. So that's what I thought to be there. But you know. I'm not going to say the Yankees, man, to give satisfaction to Rob, man. But, you know, whatever, you know, freaking Yankees.
Hey, yeah.
Anyway.
That's the fact, man, you know.
I know. I ain't gonna what about the Mets, man?
In this case, it just so happened to be one of my teams.
Yeah. Kind of nice how you put it. What about the Mets, man? Are we thinking they're going to do anything? Are they still paying Bobby Bonilla? Yes, they are. What's
they
up
are.
With
yes,
the
yes,
I mean, no.
It's like the Knicks still paying Allen Houston.
Every year, right?
The Mets need two bats. I think the Mets are targeting Tulowitzki, and I think they also are targeting my Jay Bruce, because that staff they have with Harvey and Syndergaard and DeGrom and Matt, they have a rotation. Their rotation is pretty solid between them and Washington. I think they may have the two best staffs, you know, starting pitching
staffs.
Yeah. If they could just score some runs, they would be dangerous. But David Wright can't stay healthy. They need a couple bats. They're more than one bat removed. And me and my friend had this argument all weekend. They need a couple bats before I can really start to take them seriously, because they're going to have to be able to score. You have to score some runs. You know, you just cannot score one run and make a move. You got to score some runs.
There you go. Good calls. All right, we got 10 minutes. 10 minutes before we wrap this up. Let's talk about some NBA, some free agency stuff. If you didn't know, Josh Smith agrees to a 1-year deal with the Clippers. That's a very interesting move, because now it looks like the Clippers are loading up. So one way to get stronger is to make your competition weak, right? He went from Houston, as much as I hate to admit that, and he definitely adds a lot of depth to a clearly talented Clippers team that adds a veteran presence in Paul Pierce. Maybe he can help settle that team, because maybe they didn't have that toughness. You know, you already get Chris Paul. You get DeAndre Jordan in spite of his little wish-washing. You get him back. You get some more bench help. Clippers,
Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson. You add, you know, another guard. Maybe he can help out with guarding LeBron, even though he's going to blow in his ear. But, what do you do? I didn't mean to pull it up, guys. But, you know, I mean, now I would say the Clippers are Clippers, Spurs, they can definitely give a nice little run for the champions for Golden State. Guys, what do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. I think you make a very, very valid point there, and obviously the Western Conference is so loaded. It's tough for a team like the Rockets to even lose a player like Josh Smith. I mean, you'd be surprised at how much that knocks them down in the Western Conference, just because the Western Conference is so close. You cannot afford, just like the Clippers. You know, I made this comment on last week's show. At that time, he was going to Dallas Mavericks. I thought the Clippers were going to drop to 7-8 in the Western Conference. In the Western Conference, one player of that magnitude makes a huge difference, because it's so close. But now with them getting DeAndre Jordan back, you mentioned Paul Pierce, you mentioned Lance Stevenson, now with the addition of Josh Smith, Doc Rivers has got some nice players he can play around with. He's got some athleticism. He's got some tall guys with athleticism, and Josh Smith.
Yeah.
He makes some bonehead decisions from time to time, but you can't question his athletic ability. And I think Doc Rivers might be the perfect coach for him. So, there's five teams, in my opinion, that could win the championship next season. There's only one in the East, and that's Cleveland, if they're healthy. They're the only team, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference that's capable of winning it all. But when you look at the Western Conference, Golden State's still going to be right there. The Spurs, with their additions, even though I wonder how they're going to be able to play in a small ball game, because Aldridge and West, I don't think, helped them in that regard. But they do get two very good ball players to help them down low. And then we just talked about the Clippers. They're right there in the mix. And OKC, with a healthy Kevin Durant, which in my opinion is still a question mark with that foot injury. They're looking at him to possibly being 100% by the end of August. I think there's still a question mark. But if he is healthy, you got to put them in the mix to possibly be one of the top four teams and have an outside chance for competing for a championship.
JQ.
Yeah, but my only issue with them, let me start first, is Josh Smith is a clear upgrade over Matt Barnes. So I think that is a great move by the Clippers. And then you get Lance Stevenson to come off the bench, maybe, or a starting man like Paul Pierce. And
Jamal starting and shooting guard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and stabilize that bench. So I agree, that's a big move up. But my issue with the Clippers is not their physical ability, but it's the mental piece of it. And maybe Paul Pierce can help that. But that, to me, they are lost sometimes as a team between the ears. So I'm going to pump my brakes on them. I like the moves, but until I see them put it together and not fold and not, you know, self-destruct amongst themselves, you know, I need them to prove it to me first. They have all the talent to do it. They put the pieces in place, but they lack that mental fortitude that the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs have. So that's my question mark for them. It's all mental.
And I think, you know, there's two things that they're going to need to happen. They're going to have to get Lance Stephenson from 2 years ago when he was with the Pacers, and they need Paul Pierce from the Paul Pierce that performed in this past playoffs. They need those two things to happen in order for them to be mentioned with the Spurs and the Warriors.
And that Josh Smith
that played could be Houston asking a lot, too.
And that Josh Smith that played for Houston, not the Atlanta Josh Smith, the Houston Josh Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why are you guys taking shots, man? What's up with that, man?
I'm just being honest. You was happy. You was doing. You probably did a cartwheel when he left. So I mean, you know, I'm telling the truth about him.
I just wish that Josh was able to work on his game more, man, because he was clearly athletic, man. That would have been a great piece to have. But I'm gonna throw a little heart. This is a bold prediction too. I don't know why I'm not getting any love from my Hawks. They were the number one seed for the East, man. So, you know, we added, I think we upgraded, honestly, getting Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, I know it's kind of touch and go with DeMar Carroll, but you know, you keep adding some more depth. I like the moves of Justin Holloway. I know he's, you know, Jrue Holloway's brother. So I like that move. You know, Glenn Robinson Jr. is playing great, man, believe it or not. So he may, Glenn Robinson III. You know, I like the moves, man, you know, a little under the radar. So keep on not thinking that we're going to do some things. You know, we'll see how you guys are going to play us for two. We re-signed Paul Millsap. I like it, man. I like the moves, man. We're just going to keep getting better and better. I don't know. Hey, this is Andre's bold predictions, but this is what I'm saying. All you did was, you know, you got a player, you got younger at the shooting guard position. You got Korver coming off the bench. You know, DeMar Carroll was doing his thing. But, you know, hey, you know, he was kind of a no man when he got to – no one was clamoring for him whenever we signed him from Utah back in the day. So, you know, I like the system, man. I trust in Coach Bud, man. So, you know, I'm not saying we're going to be number one seed or anything like that. But I'm saying I think you got – you know, we're going to get some more players another year, Ken Bazemore. You know, we got some pieces here. So, you know, that's Andre. So, there you go, suckers.
Hey.
Hey, you're entitled to your opinion. Hopefully you're making that with your head and not your heart. And
it's all good.
I have five bold NBA predictions.
Go ahead, Rob.
Five bold NBA predictions for next year. The Milwaukee Bucks will be a top three seed in the Eastern Conference. They still need to improve the outside shooting a little bit, but as far as their roster, Michael Carter Williams is going to get better under the guidance of Jason Kidd. Greg Monroe,
like
his skill level in the post, so he's a great passer. He's a much better post player. And the Greek the Freak is only 20 years old, and he's getting better and better. His potential is scary. He's added some muscle. He's kind of in the weight room. This guy, I think, could be a top 10 NBA player and maybe even top five in a few more years. His potential is scary. I see the Milwaukee Bucks as a top three seed in their Eastern Conference. Another bold prediction, I see the Miami Heat as a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. Obviously a lot of that's going to depend on the health of Wade and Bosch. But with Goran Dragic, Lou Aldean, Hassan Whiteside, if you watch this kid in the last 20, 30 games of the season last season, this kid has got a lot of potential at the center position. Amari Stoudemire definitely is not what he used to be, but I think coming off the bench, he can help this team. And so I think Pat Riley has did a great job as general manager turning this team around. I see them as a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. I hate to burst the bubble to you, Andre. I don't see the Atlanta Hawks as a top four seed. That's another bold prediction I have for next season. I do not see the Hawks as a top four seed. Another bold prediction, the Spurs will not win the championship next year.
Ooh.
Will they compete? Can they make it to the Western Conference Finals? Yes. I don't think the Aldridge deal is going to help them win the championship. I think, you know, in some cases it looked like the game is going a little bit faster. I'm not sure if they got better in that regard. So there's another bold prediction I have. I have one more, but I can't remember it, so I'm going to let you guys go ahead.
That's okay. Your phone's going to go mute. Go ahead. Got a minute, JQ.
I'll just add one. Justin Winslow wins Rookie of the Year for Miami.
Watch Stanley Johnson, too. Watch Stanley Johnson. But, yeah, that's a good point. That's another reason why I think the Heat will be a top four seed, too.
Watch the little Okafor make some moves, man. I like that move. He's playing well.
Okafor is playing well. Watch Stanley Johnson for the Detroit Pistons for Rookie of the Year. I'm not saying he's going to win it, but he's going to be right up there, too.